Hello, people. Welcome to another episode of the show. This is our first interview of season 4. I know it's been a long while, but yeah, we're here with our guys. Our co-host Valentine is here on deck with us. I've got our first guest for this season. His name is Ali Abubat. Please, a round of applause for the man. I'm supposed to add some effect. This guy is a cinematographer, a basketballer. In fact, he's worked with notable celebrities over the years, and he's blown up his portfolio. So now we have to be calling him Oga. Oga.
Hey, Opo.
Well, yeah, thanks for joining us, man. How are you doing? How are you doing, my guy?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a while, bro.
Yeah, we've been planning this.
Valentine, I've not gotten my shoes.
May I reach Nigeria first now? See this guy.
No, I didn't give you federal warning.
You hold me for airport, Abi.
You can't be threatening him. You cannot be doing that on the show. Please. This is live. This is live evidence. What is that?
No, that is not a threat. It's a friendly reminder.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, let's get it off, man. 2022 just ended the way we expected it to end. At least for most of us, we had our highs and lows. But for you, what was the biggest takeaway from 2022?
I think my biggest takeaway is the fact that I started my 2022 pretty well. I planned it towards like ending of 2021 that before at least middle of 2022, I should be able to have changed a lot of things that I feel like I thought I wouldn't even do before, right? So one of the first plans was to make sure I get admitted into film school and also to actually put my portfolio and my craft ahead of anything. So I think it really worked for me, and God's too kind. I came out one of the best in my film school, and then I was able to like network also. I met with like a lot of great creative guys that till today we have like a very strong bond and partnership. So my biggest takeaway is the fact that I was able to like set a solid work for myself, a foundation that I think I've been trying to avoid all this while. So that's, I think that's my biggest
takeaway. So in a long shot, you should enjoy 2022. Let's just put it like that.
I try to go with the positive side of it. Right?
What was the negative? I want to know everything. I like Amebo.
Yeah, true though, but see, shit. The negative side of Ambisi, bro, as much as you they try to succeed, bro, it is really tough, bro. Because there are times that person goes just wake up, man, and you go look yourself like, oh, do I really want to even do this? Is there something I'm not doing well? Or is it that the earth itself is against you? And then when you look at it again, it's tough, bro. I won't lie to you. Really tough. Really tough. But we just have to, now, as usual.
That is the same thing we Uncle Valentine did talk the last time we had him. Like, adulting is hard.
Bro, it is. Trust me. I spoke to Valentine like a few weeks before his induction. Should I use the word induction to flat out? I think we chatted briefly, and then I asked him a couple of questions and stuff. Yeah. So now part of the struggle way even last year, but I'm not trying to let it weigh me down. Now, why, if you notice, I just said the positive side of last year, which is more important to me, right?
Very true, man. We just got coaching to keep up. But I have this question. I know most people don't know this, but I'm going to ask you this question. Who is your favorite person on the earth right now? See, Valentine, you people are on the same level. Me, I'm not in the frame.
What exactly are you trying to talk about?
It's just a question. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just sprinkling the salt around.
Bro, my favorite person is Sugar Mungo. Come on, wait. Okay. Come on. No, no, Valentine, I'm sure Como will understand. I'm about to throw that answer back to him. Como,
mm-hmm.
all these years that you and I have been together, I have always called you and you, Como. I have never mentioned any name. It is still Como. So exactly, it's still Shogomongo, right? Hey,
I'm single on this podcast. Everybody knows I'm single. I don't
Nah, bro, excuse me. I wasn't even talking about if you're in a relationship or being single.
Who asked you?
Do you get? I was only throwing the answer back to you. And right. I'm sure you...
Way to put me on this spot. I'm sure,
no, but I'm not, bro.
Valentine is the only one that came out of 2022 with a significant...
Yes. Contract.
So we have to, like, we have to...
No, bro, respect to Valentine.
What is this, man? What is this? What is this?
No, but it's good, though. It's good because if you guys look at it from way back, we're boys, bro. We're boys, right? We see a lot of these people and then we look at them and be like, oh, man, these guys are old. They are not really doing anything. We just see them come to the basketball lazy. They can't run and stuff. But then if you look at us now, I am very sure we still run, but we can't run the way we used to run 15, 10 years ago.
Facts.
About that,
and then all those stuff that we've been mocking on the court and making fun of those people is what we're doing
see
now.
See this one.
Valentine, you did better.
I don't agree. I don't agree.
Not lie.
Not lie.
You didn't see yourself.
You know, it's funny. No. It's funny you say this because I'm much faster. I'm much stronger, much tougher than I was 5, 8 years ago. Like, I can't even compare to 5 years later. Like, if we're talking about the next 15 years, okay.
Yeah.
Valentine is a young boy. That's why. Is he a young boy? That's why.
You people are the old, you people are the veterans. Don't put me in your category. You people have played finish. You have played your Nigeria finish. You have played everything.
I don't blame you. It's the bad choice I have. I don't blame you. It's not your fault. I will still catch you. It's not your fault.
No worry, you will still fall for that bracket.
Can you imagine?
eventually.
Throwing shades at us.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, your upbringing, let's touch about you growing up and how you were able to pick up yourself as the adult that you are at the moment. You know, you've lived in different parts of Nigeria. Guy, I never see person way travel past you. Speak Yoruba, speak Hausa. It remains more if I speak Igbo. Everything.
Yeah. Now the language why I regret, yeah, I no learn be that though.
And we know why you even regret, because you know them Igbo girls there. Like my baby. That's why Valentine is going to kill me one of these days.
I just need to catch you. That's all. That's all.
But yeah,
it's okay.
talk to us about your upbringing.
Well, I have this discussion with almost everybody that like I've met and like tried to know me personally. Right, I cannot talk about my upbringing without like mentioning my elder brother, because I think after primary school, I moved on with my brother. I didn't stay with my parents again. I was staying with my brother when he was just a junior. He was just like a new officer in Nigeria Navy, right? He was just, how would I put it? He was staying in like a single room, just foam and fan, right? But he wanted me to like learn quick and then see life in another angle. So he asked me to move inside with him. I lived with him basically from my JSS1 back till I was done with secondary school, and I think before I even went to the university. And bro, not growing up with your father and mother is another thing entirely. Hey,
tell me about it.
Bro, like, my brother, they wake up in the morning, see, in the dress, they go work. He don't wake me, guy, how far? go bath, then go school. Then I go reach school. You get, I go see like my mates where, oh, mm-hmm. this guy and his papa bring her, or this guy and his mama. Do you know, in my mind, well, this guy's not really flex. So, but still, I had the freedom, and then the trust was there, the bond was there. So I didn't really miss my parents that much because every weekend I and my brother would sit down and discuss a lot aside school. Mm-hmm. I was able to express myself. I think that's one of the reasons why, till today, everywhere I go to, I try not to even hide myself. I don't put myself in a particular name, though. I will come out, I will talk. And then when I see things that are not right, I will say it. So I go to school, these guys, my dad, my mom, my dad, my see these niggas. Maybe only my dad, my mom. Bro, you go house, you know they go check fridge, say your mom see don't cook food, mm-hmm, keep for you. Mm-hmm. Like you don't easy which mama put our own brands, buy food, carry go house, chop. Bro. And then it got to a point that beans and bread became like my favorite because after school like this, easy, bro, after school, it's easy to carry. Guy, because you don't tire, you carry school bag, like, bro. But I owe it to my brother. He taught me a lot. Like, he taught me life itself. Because I could still remember how I used to, like, leave the house for days and not come back. My brother would find me. If you find me finish, I would expect say this nigga go beat me. No, he would speak sense to me. This thing what you want to do, who they stop you? Why you know, calm down? Why you did excuse yourself, leave house? At least go school. So all those things now part of the things where like really build me up to this level, why I get that kind of discipline. So anytime I go back home, my mom would discuss and stuff. Me and her close, but it can't be like me and my brother. We did talk. I and my mom, we do talk like every day on the phone. But bro, it can't be like. Yeah, bro. I'm really grateful for that, though.
It's wild that you brought that up. Like, I think for a lot of our younger generations nowadays,
yeah,
we don't see that side of life.
Like at all.
having to struggle for everything you get, especially at a very, very early age.
Yeah.
The Gen Z in quotes. I'm actually scared like for the next generation. There are a lot of things you see on a daily basis and you're like, are these children okay? Are you sure you're normal? Like it's just wild nowadays. And without those kind of experiences, you can't navigate through life the way you should.
At all. See
Valentine. Valentine says an adult. He thought he was still a young boy until
he hit me like a wrecking ball, though. He hit me like a wrecking ball.
Bro. Experiences build us up.
Bro, he did a lot.
When was the first time like you really got into sports? Was it during this phase where you were still with your brother and you were living away from home, or it got to a point that you said, let me just do something that actually keep me busy?
I like that question, right? So the thing is, I did my primary school in Lokoja. Yeah. Right? So I've been exposed to sports since I was like really small, but not the kind of exposure that kids of nowadays are getting. My kind of exposure to sport is the type that you leave your house through the back door,
mm-hmm,
to go and play.
Go and play ball.
And then you are so now the thing is, you are so dusty, you need to find your way to clean yourself before going to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to find a way to enter through that same back door. Enter the house. Sometimes you have to starve to sleep because you don't even want any questioning, right?
You don't think when this guy don't be cooked. You don't think.
Bro, no. But as I'm saying it, they ring bell for your ear because now something similar or something close you said don't do, right? Yeah. So in my primary school days in Lokoja, right, I did go this River Niger thing. Now is like a scene if you grow up in Lokoja and you never knew how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, we never had a swimming coach. We went to a river that you just dive in, you don't know what is inside because that water is so it's so clean that you cannot see anything in your front. Do you understand? And there are stuff inside. Bro, you get so all those years I was playing soccer, right? In my primary school, I was my games prefect.
Who is calling?
Nobody is calling me. I think it's my network. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah. So I was my games prefect. So immediately after primary school, I moved in with my brother in Lagos, and my brother was like, okay, I went to play soccer once. And then that place is called Evans Square in Ibute Meta. So the thing about Evans Square is that, bro, that pitch, not just Igbo smokers and Igbo dealers, right? So you they run, smoke, they go everywhere. Like, if you inhale smoke, you don't need to smoke before, like, you
get you guys.
So my brother don't like make a good that kind of place. So he restricted me. He suggested lawn tennis, right? So I started my first day, come on, my first day in stadium to play lawn tennis. I just talked to coach, finish. I don't gear up, don't warm up and stuff. I say make I go pee, I carry that kid, follow back. I just go see coach Tosin court. That's Ox basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There was AZ, Lekon, Soji, big guys in 07 then, right? So I just go there and I see coach Tosin. I did go rebound ball. I can't dribble. I had my racket to go on my back. And coach Tosin was like, you know that kind of hype that they used to drag into sport now. You have good handles. Come and play basketball. Bro, that was it.
just like that.
Bro, I'm telling you, like, my lawn tennis racket was right behind me. So AZ and I think it was, I can still remember, it was AZ. Hafiz. It was Hafiz. He was shooting. So me, I was rebounding. And then in the process of rebounding, I was dribbling. I have never played. I only see it from distance. I've never had interest in it. Mm-hmm. Coach Tosin was like, you have good arms. It's just that small hype. Come, let me teach you basketball. And he taught me triple threat. And that was all.
It's funny how a lot of us started basketball. Very funny.
Very funny, bro.
With me, my brother played a little, just thinking. And when I was in secondary school, you always do all those nonsense sports where you play after school, you get around people. There was this not court in my secondary school, command or job. Every time we just go there, everybody throws the ball, we shoot it anyhow, we try to just have fun, basically. But it was when I got
to that means you had at least you had close encounter with basketball.
Yeah, bro. I actually did have close encounter.
Bruh, not even a distance cousin to basketball. That's the interest I had. I never knew anything. I never knew anything. I only know of Michael Jordan, but after school in that same secondary school, GSS 1 period and stuff. After school, bro, we did go play soccer for back. We did enter railway compound with uniform, play soccer.
Well, I thought you know how to play
football.
Do you know how to play football?
I was planning on going pro playing football. That was exactly when I switched. So like I was really really good. I was
basketball is that bad. That's the word.
Basketball is a lot harder. Basketball is a lot harder.
And it's toxic because once you get into it, bro, you don't want to leave.
Right. I don't enter. It'd be like initiation.
Yes, now. Enter. Bro, nothing. You know if you look back.
Very true. Quick one, guys. The timer might go off in about 5-10 minutes. So I'll create another link so we join in. But let's continue. Yep. This is my fault. I should have upgraded this thing since. I'll have to do it after this.
Spend that money.
Wait, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with this one? But yeah, We can't really talk basketball when it comes to Lagos without bringing up Ropak. I can't even, like,
True.
It's funny, I can't even remember when I met Ali, but I know I met him at Ropak. I'm 100% sure that I met him at Ropak.
It is. We had that rivalry.
Yes.
So this is the experience
that you really needed to pull into. I wish I met Valentine a lot earlier. Hey, see, yeah. Would I showed you like
Valentine, you go see Shaggy.
Rope Park was like Rocker Park that time. It was like the legends. You just hearing about the legends, the Roy Park, Roy Park, what's going on there? Just being like, oh, the legends are there, the best shooters in the country, the best things in the country. I'm like, ah. Boy, you know, as an island at that time, it was really far. So before we go to Rope Park, it had to be for something.
There were
those competitions.
Right. With Ropak, you basically grew up around a lot of guys there, around a lot of coaches. We have Coach Mansin Eli Alimi, which is, to me, one of the greatest coaches in Nigeria right now. You've got the older guys who actually trained us or coached us one way or the other how to play basketball. Now, playing in that kind of setting, how much did it impact your development, both as a basketballer and also as a man?
Well, I think this is going to be like the first time a lot of people are going to know about this, right? When I started basketball, I was like the smallest guy in the stadium, not age alone, height wise, age and experience. I was like the smallest guy, and then I had the privilege to like play with guys that today, when they talk about them, people will be like, ah, I used to idolize this guy. In my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Right? But me, I've played with them. I had the experience. Mm-hmm. I still remember when they opened Ilupeju basketball court. The other Warriors, they packaged it that year. Right? I was wearing Hawks jersey and it was literally dragging the floor. They had to like fold. You know, that year, they were wearing extra, extra large shorts. And bro.
Mm-hmm.
That was how small I was playing basketball. Now, me be the same person when it comes to Coach Tosin and Coach Charlie's rivalry. I was that small, but I had the mind, and then I was playing I won't say I was playing to an elite level, but I had the mind to play with those guys.
Yeah,
like I could literally play. I could literally play full court with those guys, and I would still survive. So, fast forward to when we all now started moving to Ropak and the development basketball team started, right?
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to Ropak. I don't get to play set at my age then. So, we just go to Ropak. Those big guys will finish playing. When they take a timeout, we are quickly playing like a one-on-one. Before the end of 10, maybe a minute running time, we played like three sets of one-on-one. And then one day, Mancini walked up to me. Then I used to drag some of my friends, Sholola Shwibes, elder brother, Shamsin, Igbanu Martins, and others. I used to drag everybody to like go for, guys, let's go and play, like set among ourselves. So one day, Mancini approached me and he was like, let's work out together. He is going to coordinate us, right? So we did, and he already knew I had like experience a bit. At my age, I already had experience among all these guys.
Yeah.
I was the more experienced person. So my senior would always say, Ali, take the lead and stuff. That was how the youth alive and whatever thing started. Wow. Right. So my senior will fix the time. I will make sure I look for everybody. Make sure we're all together. We were no more than 10 when we started. But we were pushing and stuff, and then people started noticing, oh, these guys, every day we're practicing, everybody now wants to join and stuff. So to say that Ropak has not contributed to my adulthood is a lie, because it did a lot. There were a lot of veterans there. I could see how they behave. They were like mid-level veterans, they were like the aged veterans. And they were, mm-hmm. we still had like younger veterans there and then. all these guys put together, you can easily pinpoint people's character and behavior, and then you can now, it is now left to you to choose which lifestyle you want to live among all these guys. So Rope has had a lot of options. The way this guy said it, Valentine said it, it's like a rocker park, right? So that's how I see it. So it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot. When I look at the aged veterans character, I'm like, oh, this particular person, I don't like the way they do. Ah, man, I don't even want to live my life like this.
Yeah.
I saw it from that angle, and then I was able to use it. And then some are living that same life that me, I don't like this person. They like it. Mm-hmm. So I think I chose the best part of it to myself. I don't know about others. And it's really working for me.
And we can all see that it's really working. And now that you're cashing out, you're collecting money from everybody.
Amen.
You think I don't see your status the other day? Do you know what this guy said? He was adding a message with one potential client. The auntie wanted a shot before signing contract.
No, it was about contracts. The thing is, he gave me a brief of what the job is like and everything, and then he said you are going to send me the contract when I get home. So in my field, as a qualified cinematographer, you don't just go into deal with somebody with mouth alone. Sometimes when it comes to deals like that, so he wanted me to be a permanent staff. I was like, okay, cool, no problem, but I need to see the contract before I would even agree or not. So, and then I expected you to send the contract to Dylan. The next day, he sent me a message. Yo, what's up? Can you avail yourself on Friday? I was like, okay. Am I getting paid for this one or what? He's like, no, they are bringing me in. I was like, no, excuse me, I don't work like that. Bro, the thing about Nigeria is everybody wants to use you.
Oh my God. I saw that in our world.
So the good thing, come on, the good thing is, one thing I like about myself is, if somebody teaches me something and I learn from you, if I have problem tomorrow, I will go back to that person that taught me that stuff and be like, this thing I did, is it right or wrong? The people that taught me cinematography were my friends, but I never treated them as my friends. So my film school lecturer was the first person I sent that screenshot of that conversation to, and he was like, I like how you responded diligently, and then I like the approach you gave and stuff. It was not disrespectful, and that is the right thing to do because it clearly looks like she wants to use it. I'm in my head, I was like, okay, there we go. Bro.
You talk. Anyway, let's move on, Jai. We're talking basketball and you playing at different levels, Europa. Now, growing up in that situation and, you know, meeting up with or seeing, like you mentioned, a lot of guys that people now look up to, like, I want to be like this guy. You played against the likes of Charles Bassey, Martins, Ibanu, those guys that have left the country and have made a name for themselves.
Charles Bassey, Martins, Promise, all these ones, like later stuff.
Yeah, they were the younger dudes.
Because even the ones that I played with in stadium that were like some of them were like my age category and stuff that moved, and they are still doing well for themselves. Yeah. Like Prince.
It's crazy, yo. Prince.
I swear.
Guys.
Prince.
If you look back at that set of guys that used to play with Raptors, Zion, Ibuka Warriors, those guys really, they were the first generation of athletes from Niger that really went out and did good. Like, they went to the US, they went to the Philippines, they went to all these
places.
They dominated. That's crazy.
That structure.
Yeah. What happened to the structure? Let me tell you what happened to the structure. People started using...
You're talking about guys traveling to the Philippines. That's a huge deal. You're talking about guys traveling overseas.
No, they didn't even go to Philippines direct. Like, they played from college. They played well in college. Yeah. Signed their contract from college to, like, top leagues in Europe and Asia. Do you understand?
The thing is, a lot of people got greedy. That was what happened. A lot of people got greedy.
Greed became part of it.
With Nigerians, you see that, okay, this guy is going to be a promising player. And it got to a point where coaches began to instigate issues with, I don't know, within themselves. So this guy is my player, this guy is my player. I'm going to help him do this, I'm going to help him do this. And before you know it, once the player gets to that level, you don't do what you need to do to actually help him succeed. But now you're trying to gain from the exposure he has gotten, the little bits that you can stop. It makes no sense. And it still happens to dates. Like there are a lot of organizations. Meaning bits are, it's crazy. Academies.
In Nigeria, I think lately I've been like one of the biggest critics in Nigerian basketball. If not, even though I don't come out to like write or say, but wherever my presence is and you talk about Nigerian basketball, I criticize it big time. I don't even try to like cover up for anybody, man. Once I know that, okay, this is your true color and you have shown it to me before, I won't hesitate to say it. I don't.
Makes no sense. Man.
Yeah, because the truth is, I feel one of the things I'm mostly proud of is the fact that we, in our class, Komo, me, you, Bayo, like when I say our class, Indomie and others, yeah. Right? I think one of my biggest take in our set is the fact that the bond we had was not just for basketball alone.
True.
We never shy away from telling each other the truth.
True.
Right? We tend to like encourage and discourage stuff that we know that will work for any of us. I think that's one of the reasons why most of us are still like really like cool and together. We are not trying to do any class differentiation because I think that's one of the things that happens in Nigerian basketball. It's always this class differentiation. Somebody wants to be a boss and the other has to be like a follower. Nobody's willing to grow the other person.
Very true. It's funny to think that most of those guys have that at the top right now, especially in the Federation. They've seen the way organizations work in different countries.
And they are part of those organizations.
Yeah, they are part of those
organizations. But they don't do that there. They come here to do it. But I think we won't really blame those guys that much because when you look at the category of people they are dealing with, right?
Mm-hmm.
We should look at the set of people they are dealing with. People that can actually challenge that situation are either suppressed by greed or maybe poverty and maybe lack of exposure and their inferiority complex.
True. A lot of yes men.
Do you understand?
About a lot of yes men. Everybody's saying yes to this because they don't...
Do you understand? When it comes to time for people to say no, they don't know how to say, they can't say because they are scared.
Yeah, that's true.
It's because crazy though. I swear, bro. I had an encounter recently with, I think, this recent festival that just finished.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw one of the basketball players posted that the Lagos State Athletes bus will not leave because the basketballers have not been assigned a bus to go together. And they were protesting. So I happened to be on the Lagos State Basketball Association, right? So I saw it immediately. I took the videos. I went to they posted it. And then I said things about it. I was like, if we don't really care about ours, how do you think other people are going to see us from outside? Man, big kudos to the president of Nigerian Handball Federation. I'm not trying to
shoot. Oh, that man is incredible.
I'm earning anything. Komo, have you seen how these handballers are living in Lagos?
That man is incredible. Even before I left Nigeria, what he has been able to say—that's
what I'm telling you.
People
before
going
you
out
left,
of the country, people moving bro, every time.
Okay, that was before you left. Now it's not about them leaving the country to play in another country. Now it is about them earning a jersey even in Nigeria, bro. Now anybody that earns a jersey in Nigeria Handball Federation is doing well, even if they decide to package them, they are not paying them well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not even go there. To me, they are still doing great. These guys, when you see them every time, they are in shape, they eat good food, they wear good jerseys. Not one particular jersey that one person is looking like they borrowed jersey for him, and the other person is like he had issues with the tailor, right? Everybody is wearing their jersey, like
never forget the Agbada.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Somebody is wearing his jersey, you know that, oh, okay, this jersey was made for this person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is how those guys are living now. So even if they have, even if they have contract about to play, they play club. But when it's time for national game, you see them running back. Why? Because there's a system that works.
True.
And then these are our same basketball people who still go there and still be gisting with him and doing big man shit. Bro, fuck your big man.
If you can't bring anyone up, then it's irrelevant.
You just want to gather up followers.
It's irrelevant, honestly.
It's irrelevant, bro.
Yeah, transitioning from, you know, basketball to cinematography, I want you to talk about that process, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything that you had to go through. Like, because every one of us are transitioning. See me now. Who said I'll be, who thought I'll be sitting down here hosting show? Eh? Who said I'll be doing
tech? I tried hosting show. I'm not seeing the other tech bro. About.
You know?
Excuse me, I need to get my laptop.
You already know it now. Let's see nobody sleep again.
Yeah, because I'm almost done. Yeah, so the thing is, okay, back in Alipma, right? That was, I think, towards 2015. We're going for private university games in Afeba Balola in Ekiti. So I was taking like these random shots with my phone, and then these shots are coming out nice. Eh? That way I started off taking just pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So in filmmaking, we call them stills. I was taking pictures, and then I was enjoying the whole process. I went to Afeba Babalola, had a good time, played basketball, met with my usual friends from other universities, did everything. Although we didn't qualify to a particular stage, but I was part of the people that did the slam dunk contest. I swear, fam, I'm not joking.
Wait, for perspective, let everyone know how tall you have this.
How tall is Tolani? Is taller than I am. How tall is Tolani? No. I think we're about the same height. We're about the same height.
For you to even use Tolani as the benchmark,
we don't know. Have an idea. We don't know. We talk to us directly. How tall are you? List your height.
Might be like 5'7", 5'8". That's if I am sure, right? No, I don't even hide. Mr. Nate, because it has never been.
Mr. Nate Robinson.
Forget the guy.
Mr. Nate Robinson. I see you with the hops.
Yeah. So, I think that was the yes. Sammy was there. He knew me. So Sammy did something crazy. And then after about the last time, we went and bought iPad Dunk 2015. That time, iPad Dunk was just me.
Yeah.
And then he gave it to him straight. I was like, oh, my guy, nice one. I'm not on the same team. I was playing for my school. I was playing for his school. But the bond that we had from Lagos, we've been playing back. So even there, I was doing some videos. So when I went back to school, I have a friend, Sadiq, that has a camera. He doesn't use it that much. So I started playing with his camera, taking random pictures. I think my best picture that I took as an amateur was even his silhouette.
Wow.
Right? And then immediately after my graduation, I went to camp in Osun State. I met like this crazy ass cinematographer guy, Dako King. And Dako King is like one of the biggest, most respected cinematographers in Nigeria. And as at that time, he just finished from Redeemers and he was like their media director. So this guy has already been a badass cinematographer before even coming to camp.
Mm-hmm.
So I happened to be part of the OBS. And then there's my friend Bolaji too. Bolaji does photography, transition. Dako King was teaching me the basic, and then I was playing with camera and cam. And from then, I was like, I don't get waiting to do my life.
So you knew or you thought that photography or videography or just visual in general was going to be something you would pursue?
Oh, exactly. Visuals. Not even photography. I didn't even know which one I wanted to do, but I was surrounded by people that do videos a lot. And then it was a smooth transition. Do you understand? I was able to like go into it direct, and then it worked for me.
You know, with
with athletes, one thing that we've always talked about, or people have talked about back home, is the difficulty it takes for a basketballer or a footballer, someone that has played so many years, to transition into doing something else. Because, you know, they've been around this kind of lifestyle that it is practice in the morning, practice in the afternoon, eat little breaks here and there, and not being able to like sit down in one spot and focus on doing something else. So it's actually incredible what you've been able to achieve. And you now, great, they don't set given a certification by what it lost, okay. Ebony life.
I swear, bro.
What it lost, okay.
No, but I think you if you could remember, you are also part of this journey, right? Because I still remember you and I like planning a lot of things, even when I was not that good. But so when you look at it again, when you transition to teams, when you transition from one, let me use like environment for example. So because you and I live in the same house, I told you that, okay, I don't want to be going to this particular place to eat food anymore. But because you are my friend, you're like, okay, but may I eat there? Why not stay too and eat and continue eating? Even if it will not last. But rather than doing that, you're like, okay, do yours, and then we can always merge our food together and eat. So that is you telling me, oh, Shogo, have fun now. We'll run this together. And even as at then, you didn't even know how good I was. But the only thing that really worked for you was the fact that you trusted me, you believed in the process that I'm in, and then you didn't even see it as anything because you already knew the struggle. We're together. We know how it was, right?
Excellent.
So I think your people you roll with also matters when it comes to you making some decisions.
Very true, very true. Yeah. Say that now. Now that you are in this media space, I asked Valentine the same question the last time we were talking.
Yeah.
The reason why I ask this question a lot is because I know in the next few years, you see, artificial intelligence is going to take. He's going to have his grip or his chokehold on most of us. You have to go through, you know, this process as well. So what are your thoughts of AI in the media space? Before you even go into it, I saw a video and it was about human evolution, you know, how we evolved from monkeys to now being humans. And the next phase of that evolution is actually being one with technology, where we'll probably be cyborgs, robots, sentient, whatever it is. Are we going to ever get to that stage where we'll start using our hands as wires, you know, flinging all this nonsense that we saw in Matrix?
We trust me, we will. We are getting there already. We are. I won't lie to you. Because if you look at... Oh, geez. Almost time for practice. If you...
Almost done. I'm done.
Yeah. Almost done. So when you look at this, right? People, okay, let me use that, this current trend that is going on, people creating their AI and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You are, one good thing about Africa is we don't read terms and conditions. Somebody is taking your database and then you are glad you are posting and stuff. But because I belong in this space, I know what is going on. I didn't want to do it. So what me I might end up doing later is be among those people that are going to be the back end people that are doing the whole thing, right? So, because when we get there, you will now want to buy for somebody to do it for you.
Yeah.
I will now be the provider. You get.
So this guy is already looking at monetizing.
But bro, that's the move.
Anyway, I know we have to let you go very soon, but let's go into this little game. It's called overrated, underrated, or properly rated. So I'm going to give you a list of names and you tell me whether this person is overrated, underrated, or properly rated. First, we'll start with NBA, just five. Zion Williamson, what do you think?
Overrated. I'm not even going to argue with that.
Next. Well, what do you think about that? See, when you raise your eyebrows, no, I agree.
I'm not going to argue it.
I think it's fairly rated.
Okay, Luka Doncic, this one, Valentine is going to be pissed on what you say. Luka Doncic.
Is he underrated? I don't think he's underrated. Because he's
I beg your pardon.
And everybody knows.
I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. There's no way he's underrated.
He can't, that's what I'm saying. So in general, what I'm saying is... He deserves it.
So he's properly rated again.
Okay. Yeah, properly rated.
Donovan Mitchell, 71 points a few weeks ago.
And for the rating that you get, it's properly rated.
Okay, one more. Yes. Jordan Poole. Oh. The young boy in Golden State Warriors that feels like he's the one.
That's the next good from Golden State.
Very good. My problem with Jordan Poole is IQ in late game situations. Honestly,
he will outgrow it.
Yeah, I
Let
think
him
so.
Enjoy the moment because he has more experienced players helping him, but you outgrow it.
Very true. Now our Niger people, the ones that you are used to, we are very used to. First on the list, Emile Agba Bolaji, the floor general.
Funny how Bolaji, aside the way people see him outside the court, I have worked personally with Bolaji. There was a time that I used to do personal training with him that I was assisting to like do his shooting drill and stuff, right? And I know the amount of work that guy has put in to become who he is today. He is properly rated. I don't care.
Let me tell you this. Just because I'm a hater, he's overrated. Just because I'm a hater.
Valentine, no worries. I know the three. I know all of them. Like, I know. See, Valentine, see my fist. So, everybody is here. He knows.
Tolani Buhari, running mate.
That's my goat right there.
You feel it's that's underrated, overrated, or properly rated?
Tolani is nobody's mate right now. He's the goat.
On the low, I think Tolani is really underrated because a lot of people, still, even as he's much underrated. As he has achieved, a lot of people will be like, this guy should be like that. But yeah.
Now, because he knew the show off. When the game comes, we go kill everybody. Always stepping up, man.
For sure. Sammy Nwanwolo, Indomie. Is he underrated, overrated, or properly rated? Sammy has only played the Nigerian League once. And I don't know why that is, but maybe he's flexible.
He's underrated. He's underrated. Because I grew up playing with people like Sammy, right? And the same Indomie that I know of is the same Indomie that still plays. Right? And there's the reason we are calling him Indomie. There's just few of us that know the meaning thing today. Right? Next question.
Valentine, what do you think about Sammy? Underrated, overrated, properly rated? What do you think?
Sammy.
Yes.
Is it the Sammy with the beard?
Yes, the Sammy with the beard. Not the Sammy that comes to Kenya every time, not VGC Sammy. You know Sammy that used to
no,
play.
I saw Sammy.
I saw Sam, exactly.
I saw Sammy, yeah.
I saw Sammy is
I can make a show for you.
Someone is going to get whoop.
Overrated.
Do you see my face? Can you see my face?
He
what?
Said he's overrated.
Overrated.
Valentine. Fuck you, bro.
Man,
let me give you my Masumi style. Let me give you my Masumi style. Fuck you. Fuck you, bro.
Nah. I'm sorry. I played with Sammy a few times. Sammy is extremely difficult. He's good as an individual, but if you're playing a team basketball, I just think it's overrated at that point.
That is why I feel like you don't know him.
I feel because it's the setting. If Sammy plays among certain players, he's going to be the guy that wants to do everything. He wants to score at every possession there. But when he plays with a group of other players, then he finds a way
to play his role.
Then my experience with Sammy is that, well, I mean, we've played a few times and he's always been, I mean, like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
No worries, man. Anyway, but Shogomogo, Mr. Ali, thanks for joining us, man. It was a great one with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And to everyone that's watching this clip, Thanks for watching. You know what to do now. Subscribe, like the video, and share it, do everything that is good for us to grow. And what, Uncle, you want to send money to us?
And don't forget, we're planning to do a GoFundMe or fundraiser. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, my guy. That's it, man.
Yeah, man. No.